shut up. The footy's on Triple M.
This is a Triple M footy news update.
This is massive, this story.
A little exclusive.
With Tom Brown.
It's Friday, the 17th of September, and while we continue the slow creep to the D's v Dogs Grand Final in Perth, it's time for another Triple M footy news update with Tom Brown. My name's Rudy. I've got Tom on the phone from WA. And Tommy, there was some drama at Simon Goodwin's planned press conference today.
We're doing our podcast from Melbourne training, which is where I am as we speak, out here at Joondalup. And Simon Goodwin was due to speak this morning to the media. Melbourne had put out the release again this morning, so it was on. Goody was due to speak. When we got here, we found out that Simon Goodwin and Adam Brisset didn't make training because they've got what the club tell me is gastro. Now, in terms of the circumstances that developed this morning, and they were late scratching some training, Melbourne don't seem worried. Troy Chaplin took the media conference and took training. They don't think any other players have been affected at this stage, and they're just isolating in their rooms. It's interesting. Adam Brisset apparently had his second inoculation for his COVID vaccine yesterday, so I don't know if that's the cause of his issue. But Melbourne's obviously monitoring that. They've got a huge session tomorrow, a scratch match slash high-intensity session. So they've promised that Goody will speak as soon as he gets better over the weekend. So that's some drama from Melbourne this morning. Simon Goodwin, the Demons coach, and Adam Brisset, who's really their senior assistant coach, both missing training. As I said, Melbourne don't seem too worried, but it is a bit of a twist. It's obviously a twist also in the context that Geelong had that virus that went through their group last week. Melbourne don't think there's any connection there. There's also been a background discussion this week about the media access with Melbourne. I haven't had a problem with it. I spoke to Ben Brown during the week. But I don't think Goody would deliberately avoid a media conference and say he's got gastro. Having said that, it's grand final week, Rudy. All sorts of different things could happen. But that's the situation for Melbourne this morning.
It'd be an interesting game of 4D chess to pretend to be sick to miss out on a presser a week before the grand final. But will always be that intrigue in the lead up to the big one, isn't it? Won't there?
And just on that as well, the Demons have been out of isolation. So a lot of them are eating at different places and all that sort of stuff. So I don't think they're too worried about any cross-contamination issues with the players and so forth.
Now, Tommy, you mentioned the D's are going to play a scratch match.
They've got this big scratch match Saturday afternoon. I think it'll be around the grand final time. So it'll start at about 4 or 5 o'clock local time. And it's going to be important to hit out for the Demons because they've only really played now. Well, there's some stats saying 2 games in a month. There's another stat saying it's almost 1 game in a month. I mean, it's, look, put it this way. They haven't played consistent football due to their success because they've had these breaks. So that's going to be important to hit out for them tomorrow. It'll be interesting to see what May does. That'll be guided, by Troy Chaplin said this morning, by Stephen May, by the strength and conditioning staff. But I wouldn't have thought he'll do too much tomorrow. I would have thought next week would be the important time for Stephen May's hamstring. I think Melbourne definitely think it's back-related, and I've spoken to some medicos this week that say that with back-related hamstrings, usually there is obviously an increased risk that he could do a hamstring in the grand final, but usually if it's back-related, your back will seize up and get tight before the hamstring goes. So they're sort of obviously managing it from that perspective and hoping that he gets some warning if, heaven forbid, he did his hamstring. So it's just tightness at the moment, and I think they'll get some warning through the back if there's any further problems.
Yes, he is the All-Australian fullback, and I suspect he'll be taking his place, rain, hail or shine, on grand final day, Tommy. Just to take it back to what you said about 1 game in a month, they've played 1 game in the month of September. Perhaps that's the stat you've heard. But let's move on from that, Tommy. Yesterday, big news, Brad Scott finally unveiled by the AFL. He's the general manager of football there. He'll work alongside Laura Kane, who's the general manager of competition development, and they'll be reporting to Andrew Dillon, who's the executive general manager of football. So it's a bit of a restructure.
Yeah, it's a restructure that sees sees Andrew Dillon take on some more responsibility as well. They'll obviously see Brad in that head of football role. It's significant because Brad obviously didn't end up going for the Carlton job as such. He selected the AFL job. I think that's partly due to family reasons. I mean, coaching's just such a drain these days. He's got a young family, relatively young family, and I think his wife's only really ever known him as a coach. So I think he's probably come out of coaching, and I guess this feeds back into what Chris Scott said earlier in the year about, you know, the desire to coach and the pressures that the job put on people's families. I do think Brad Scott was spoken to and approached by Carlton. I've been told again this morning. But he's chosen the AFL job, and you know, they rate him highly. When he was at the Brisbane Lions, back in the day with Chris, I know that he was already getting banking experience back then at investment banks. Like, a lot of guys thought he'd go into investment banking post his football career. He went into coaching, and now he's gone into the AFL. So they've put him through AFL Victoria. You know, he's got a lot of experience there, going out, speaking to stakeholders, speaking to clubs. finding out the issues at the grassroots, and the grassroots is really important for football. And now with all that coaching knowledge, he's got this head of football role. So he's already commented yesterday there's not a lot, the development of the game isn't keeping up with a number of umpires, so he's going to have various challenges. He'll obviously review the match review system and a whole bunch of other things. So with Laura Kane also from North Melbourne. So that's a really exciting appointment for the AFL, and he is the third person that's rejected effectively the Carlton job in the space of 3 or 4 weeks, including Alistair Clarkson and Ross Lyon.
Yes, a good appointment, I think, and it'll be interesting to see if he sort of goes in on a change mandate like Stephen Hocking.
Well, he's got some pretty out there views, Brett. Like at one point he wanted to get list sizes down to 32 or 33, but look, Gil will obviously temper some of those views, as will Andrew Dillon, and they'll work together. But I think he could be a bit of a change agent, a bit like Steve Hocking. He'll have some views, some firm views on the game, that's for sure.
Mm, indeed, plenty to watch and play out there. Now, Tommy, some intrigue at Geelong about potential movement in the assistant coaching ranks, Matthew Scarlett particularly.
I've got information this morning that Matthew Scarlett has effectively quit the Geelong Football Club as an assistant coach after what's been described to me as a disagreement with Chris Scott last Friday night. I've checked that with Geelong sources. I haven't verified there was a disagreement with Chris Scott, but I do know that Scarlett's got pretty black and white views on things and can have some disagreements or, you know, not arguments, but just, you know, some enthusiastic discussions at various points. He's very passionate. Geelong haven't confirmed to me this morning whether he's now officially left, but I do believe that's in the process of happening. So I wouldn't be surprised if that becomes formal over the next couple of weeks. I know the Geelong Football Club, I think at this stage, hopefully it'll just cool the jets a bit and end up staying. But I think there's a bit going on there, to say the least, Rudy.
Not common for there to be that kind of word coming out of Geelong. So one to watch there for sure, Tommy. Now, Ben Cousins is going to be at the Brownlow on Sunday night.
Yes, Ben Cousins is going to be at the Brownlow on Sunday night. This is a surprise, I must admit. But over here in the West, I've spoken to a number of people. He's been playing local football. He's been working in construction. There's certainly a view amongst some prominent football identities I've spoken to over here that Ben is going relatively okay at the moment and is cleaning himself up. The AFL invited him to the Brownlow on Sunday night because he's a 2005 winner. Ben has accepted that invitation. At this stage, the AFL expect that he'll attend. Now, the proof will be in the pudding. He's accepted that invitation and he's due to come on Sunday night. So we'll find out more over the weekend, Rudy.
Now, the trade space is a bit happening there as teams' seasons finish. Daniel Talia has attracted some interest from a recent premier, Tom.
Yeah, Daniel Talia might move to a second club. I believe that Richmond is quite interested in Talia. I saw in a separate article that Geelong is interested in Talia, so there could be some movement from that trade perspective, Rudy.
That makes sense, a lot of sense for both clubs. And sticking with the Richmond theme, Callum Coleman-Jones, what's happening with him?
Well, I reported that Chole's going to go to the Gold Coast Suns on a four-year deal. I think Callum Coleman-Jones, consistent with other reports, will go to North Melbourne on around $400,000 or $450,000 a year for I've been told a 3 or 4 year deal.
So some early signs of movement in the trade space there, Tommy.
Well, the other interesting one there, Rudy, was Finlayson that I reported on Wednesday, essentially due to family reasons. He had a medical with Port, I revealed on Wednesday morning, and I expect there could be some movement there as well.
Yes.
But Jeremy Finlayson.
Yeah, he's a partner who is South Australian, I believe. I might leave that there for you, Tommy, and let you get back to Dee's training, but we'll speak to you again next week in the what is finally grand final week.
Can't wait, Rudy. And just in terms of an insight from over here, in terms of, like, I guess a bit of an insight into the vibe in both camps. You know, the Bulldogs are down at the Trade Winds Hotel. They'll get out of quarantine on Sunday. There's that video that's gone viral of them celebrating post-match last Saturday night in the rooms having a beer. It's been a theme and a thing they've done all year post-game. There's an infectious enthusiasm and atmosphere within the Bulldogs. Melbourne a little bit different. You know, there's this sort of discussion this week about their curfew. I mean, they insist it's not a hard curfew. They're not there ticking off lists or, you know, with a stopwatch when players get back, but they've imposed that. They're here with a job to do. And obviously there's been a bit of discussion about Melbourne's media access this week as well. So it feels over here like the Demons' preparation's a bit tighter. And the Bulldogs are really relaxed and ready to almost pounce. And that's just a perception thing. The players probably don't feel that, but I feel that sort of coming through in the press conferences and the media and the build-up over here. So it's an interesting discussion, also in the context of the fact that Melbourne have played less games than the Bulldogs. So we'll find out how that all fares out next Saturday. I'm not sure any of that resonates with the players themselves, whether there's media access or whether there's a curfew and all the rest of it. There's just sort of a bit of a feeling over here. I like the feeling around the Bulldogs more, Rudy, but we'll find out in the next 8 days. That's why we're here.
It's all part of the drama and intrigue of the grand final, Tommy. We'll speak to you again Monday.
Thanks, mate.